The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning. Yes, indeedy, it's Dean, and this is Court Radio. And if you can give us a call today, you can get in. You get your question answered. All you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727. If for some reason you can't give us a call or you don't get your question answered today, you can always reach us at that number during the week or find us online at myphillylawyer.com. Ba-boom. I'm joined in the studio today, folks. We have a special guest host. You know, you hear me talking about him now and again, more now than again. But today he's here in the flesh, the one and the only, Saul Langsam.
And
go right ahead. Don't worry.
And a very good morning to you, Dean, and to our listening audience.
Yeah, there's the audience is very happy to hear that you're here, Saul. Today, we're going to be doing a session on wills and estates. You know that Saul handles all the wills and estates issues for My Philly Lawyer. And so today we're going to answer your questions. If you've got questions about nagging wills and estates issues, if you've had a loved one pass away and you weren't sure what to do, today's the time to call Saul. Yeah, there you go. Call Saul. That was on Breaking Bad. There was the attorney Saul. Yeah, so, you know. There you go. You've been made a little bit famous on that. There's a couple of things going on in and around the town today that we wanted to talk about. Just a quick announcement that Councilman Jim Kenney resigned his council seat and is the 54th person who's going to throw his hat into the ring to run for mayor. I don't know. Do you know how many people are running for mayor? I don't know. It's a lot.
Probably a half a dozen by now.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Williams is running, Anthony, and our prior DA, Lynn Abraham, is running, I think. Jim Kenney now. It's going to be one of those free-for-alls in the Democratic primary. But whoever wins the primary, essentially, since there's only seven Republicans left in Philadelphia, whoever wins the primary usually wins the mayoral race. And I know the Republicans, they're out there right now, and they're going to call in and say, we can win. Yeah. When did the last time a Republican win in Philadelphia? Were you alive?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right. So anyway, Jim Kenney's in, and it's a full packed house of candidates. What else is going on? Bad news, sad news. Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Brown, is in a medically induced coma. She was found unconscious, and it sounds like underwater in her bathtub. And that's never a good thing to have happen. And she's got some brain swelling, and I guess it's too soon to tell whether she has brain damage, but more to be revealed shortly, I suppose. You know what it comes down to, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, the biggest problem America has is drugs. And the answer is rehab. You know, and keep on throwing money at it because it might be the third or fourth or 23rd time, but somebody gets it and they become a more productive member of society. So I believe in the carrot and stick when it comes to addiction and rehab. The idea that, that the answer lies in a jail cell. Well, how's that worked for us so far?
Not very well.
Yeah, not very well at all. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. Who do you pick, Saul? You're not a betting man, but I mean, if you were a betting man, who would you pick?
I think I would lean towards the Seahawks only because they're an NFL team.
The Seahawks. Okay. I don't know. I think that the Patriots are a better team. That's my gut, is that they're a better team, I think. But I think they're going to play hard, because if there's a stigma right now on the Patriots that they're a cheater, they're cheaters. They got over on the Colts, or was it the Colts they were playing? They deflated the balls. So now they're going to want to play really well, so they could show everybody that it wasn't a fluke that they're there. So
you're also playing in 70 degree temperatures.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's an advantage for both of them, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm going to go with the Patriots. So we'll see who's right tomorrow morning. Whether it's going to be the Seahawks or the Patriots. The lines are lighting up, folks. I know you're calling in with your questions. Keep them coming. We're going to get to you real soon. 215-227-2727. We got Saul here. We're answering questions about estates and wills. But, you know, the drill for Court Radio. We'll answer any question you've got, or we'll at least give it our best try. Speaking of football, it really got on my crawl that governor from New Jersey had the audacity to come into Philadelphia's stadium when we played the Cowboys, sit up in the owner's box with Jerry Jones, and huck it up, you know. And it looked like he had a really good time eating Jerry's food and. And laughing, in essence, at the Eagles as they went down in defeat. Now, I poke fun at him, you know, the donuts and stuff like that, that I'm sure he's want to. He's been caught with many ice cream cones, and he is definitely a man who shouldn't ever have an ice cream cone in his hand. But putting that aside, I mean, he's the governor of the adjacent state. How can he come here and all his constituents in South Jersey are Eagles fans, don't you think?
I think it's a misplaced priority.
Yeah. I think he was going for the cash. That's what I think. I think he was sucking up not to Jerry's food, but to his cash for his hopeful run for the presidency, and he turned his back on his constituents who. You know, he was insensitive to that. And I think that really, honestly, I'll take a more serious tact. I mean, I know people are angry with him, but I think he's a very insensitive, cruel man who's really only interested in his own betterment. And he will suck up to the cash and mock his own citizenry if he thinks it'll help his position. I think the man goes down in flames. I think this is the singular event in his history. He's been bad in many ways, but this is the singular event. We got South Jersey listeners all the time. Call in, tell me if you think I'm wrong. But I think this is the singular event that, if it stays in people's minds, will not sit well. His presidency has gone down in flames. Call us, 215-227-2727. All right, we're going to talk to D on line 3. D from Delaware. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. I look forward to your show every Sunday morning.
Thank you, D. Thank you very much. I look forward to you listening in Newark. And you got a question about a will. What is it?
Well, I've recently been looking into creating a will. I have a 5-year-old son, and me and his father haven't been together since he's about 5 months old, and he hasn't seen him since he was one. Very little communication through text and phone, but I'm trying to figure out a way to prearrange for my parents to take custody of my son if something should happen to me.
Okay.
So I figure out the best way to do that.
So... that is, there's a couple of issues that go on when you create a will. Sometimes there are trust provisions for little people, okay? And then sometimes there's the division of assets. Your focus right now is on who's taking care of your son. And that obviously is maybe the most important consideration you have. And it makes total sense to me. How does she help herself in that regard, Saul?
Well, if she wants to do some estate planning for the child, you create a will, and in the will document, you can name your parents, the grandparents of the 5-year-old, as both the guardian for the child, if God forbid something happens to you, as well as the guardian of the estate of the child, which makes them responsible for handling his financial affairs. Now, the natural father has certain inalienable rights that he can enforce if he chooses to do so, because you can't sever the relationship between a father and a child. Only the courts can do that. If the father is genuinely interested in handling the affairs of a child that he's had zero relationship with, then he's the one that has to retain an attorney and challenge the will document that names the grandparents as both the guardians of the child and the guardian of the property of the child.
So you can do it, Dee, but I just don't want to give you the misconception that through this document by itself you would protect your son from, let's say, his father coming into his life later with some, you know, intentions of trying to grab his money. You could protect the money 100%, because if there was, like, let's say, life insurance proceeds that you wanted to go to your son, then your parents would be named to be responsible to care for those. But what Saul's saying is, if dad wanted to see his son, have visitation, or maybe even custody, he certainly could fight for those rights after your passing, even if you named your parents as the guardians. But it certainly gives you a leg up in a big way, and puts the burden on him. And this is
what I was looking for.
Yeah, and this is a document that is I would say, Saul, a step above like a simple will.
Yes, because you have a child under the age of 18, you would create the trust provisions for that child, because he's not recognized as being emancipated until he reaches the age of 18.
So, Dee, what do you do? What do you do for a living in Newark?
I work at a dental office. I'm part of the administrative staff.
Okay.
Is there a way I could have his father sign something ahead of time saying that he was okay with my parents getting him, or it really wouldn't matter until something happened?
Yeah, he could change his mind about that. The only way to permanently end that relationship would be to end it in the courts beforehand, but that's not going to happen, because they would never.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way that would happen is if you got remarried and your new husband adopted him or wanted to adopt him, then the courts might switch, end the biological relationship that really isn't a relationship from what I'm listening to, and then start a relationship with his new dad, the adopted father. But when there's nobody to make that transfer, the courts are not inclined to end a relationship, even though it doesn't sound like it's much of a relationship.
Right. So what I need to do is estate planning
What you need to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. And Saul would have you come in, and he would help you create this document, and you'd leave with it. And it would be a fairly simple document naming, your parents as the guardians of your son in your demise, and then they'd also be the guardians of his estate. Or you could pick other people who would be responsible to care for the money that would be held in trust for your son. So
okay.
It doesn't have to be the same person. And in fact, wouldn't you say, Saul, that sometimes it's better to have different people?
Yeah, some people are better at various tasks. Obviously, the thought that goes into picking a guardian to raise your child, to handle the day-to-day needs of your child, is paramount. At the same time, somebody who has those skills may not necessarily have the financial wherewithal to handle the financial aspect of it. There are instances where you'll have two different people wearing two different hats, or you may have the good fortune of one person who's capable of handling both of those responsibilities.
All right, Dee, we got to run. I want to thank you for giving us
a
call.
Thank you so much.
Give us a call during the week. We can handle what you need. All right?
Thank you.
All right, Dee. Bye-bye.
Have a good morning.
You too. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Cindy from Drexel Hill. Hey, Cindy. Welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
We're well, thanks. How about yourself? What's going on in Drexel Hill?
Nothing. Getting myself ready to go to church, but I wanted to give you a call before.
Okay.
I got the door.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. My question was regarding estates. My daughter's father passed away last July, and I have a daughter with disabilities, and I just wanted to go back when we were together, before my daughter was born, he became disabled. He was robbed and shot, and he became paralyzed, so he was in a wheelchair. So that was in 98. My daughter's 16, and he just recently passed away, and a lot of chaos, as we know, when people pass away, there's a lot of, you know, things that just doesn't make any sense. And I don't know who the administrator is. I just don't know what's going on. And my daughter had got a letter from Social Security regarding the lump sum payment of the $255 since his passing. And so I scheduled an appointment to go down there to take care of that. And while I was there, they asked me if I was in connection with OPM. And I told them I hadn't done that yet because I've been trying to figure out what to do. So I made a phone call out to them, and I have not gotten the paperwork back from them since calling in November regarding anything that may be pertaining to her, you know, just trying to wrap those things up. And from what I found out, his niece, who lives in another state, I don't know how to shorten this. All I can say is that he told me that he was making a trust fund for her like about 10, 11 years ago, and he just told me that, you know, because we're not together, we were separated at that time. And so I never thought about it till a month later, till after he had passed away. So to make a long story short, I'm trying to, without getting a lawyer, I don't know if it's too small of a case to deal with a lawyer, or can I try to figure out about all the paperwork
Let me jump in and ask you a couple questions. First of all, was your daughter's dad a Philadelphia resident when he passed?
He was.
Okay. So you can start by going down to the Register of Wills office, right, Saul?
Yes, you can go to the Register of Wills, and you can...
Well, I did that. I did do that.
And you can...
And actually, I got a copy of his death certificate. His niece just recently sent that to me, so that's
okay.
All I have right
but,
now.
Right, but what you want to find out at the Register of Wills, I mean, you know he died, you got the death certificate. You want to know if an estate has been raised. Now...
No.
Okay.
Oh, is estate different from the will, or is that something different?
Well, it's the estate...
It's the same thing.
The will... When you bring it down to the Register of Wills office to enforce it, to fulfill the wishes of the will, that's where the estate gets raised. So now
there's no will.
There is no will. Okay.
Mm-mm.
So
I'm sorry, I left that out, but I knew that. Yeah.
You knew that. Them. Okay. So so if there's no will, but there still can be an estate raised under the intestate statute. That's where the state or the Commonwealth, in this instance, determines where his property will be divvied out to, or to whom his property will be divvied out to. And so his heirs are given his property based on the intestate statute. And in his case, tell us briefly, who is his family? Besides his daughter, does he have any other children?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. The only one.
And does he have living parents?
No, they're both deceased.
Okay. So it sounds to me, Saul, like all of the property would go to his daughter.
If you were able, yes. If you are
yes.
able
that's,
to identify.
No. And they over, what I was told from the niece, well, we thought because she was, because I talked to her briefly and we just lost connect. I just decided to not continue to talk to her.
She wasn't nice to you?
It doesn't make any sense.
She wasn't nice to you?
No, it wasn't that she wasn't nice. It wasn't making sense what she was telling me.
Okay. Well, sometimes you have to
like
deal.
Something that's going on, but she just said, "Well, since she was disabled, you know, we didn't consider that fact." And I'm like, "Well, it doesn't. You still just don't override the fact because that is his daughter."
Right.
Yeah.
And And, you know, sometimes you have to deal with people who don't make sense. In fact, yeah. In fact, I make a career of dealing with people who don't make sense. I do this every day. Okay. In fact, I do it all. I even do it here in the studio sometimes, you know. But
there's a lot of other issues.
Yeah, well.
It takes too long to really get into it.
It probably does. But here's the issue that I just want to be clear about. Whether you have a will or you don't have a will, if you've got property, let's say he had a bank account. The bank isn't going to release, even if it's $10, they're not going to release the money in his bank account to his niece with a will, without a will, it doesn't matter, until the will is probated. That means that it's filed in City Hall and an administrator or executor, or if he doesn't have a will, then his death certificate needs to be filed with the Register of Wills, and an administrator has to be appointed to go to the bank and get the $10 out. The bank isn't going to release any money at all to anyone until that happens. His death certificate needs to be filed, and you can do it on behalf of your daughter. I mean, you know. Yeah, you can absolutely do it. Okay. And so, you know, but the question is, here's the underlying question, right, Saul? Is there any money? Because if there's no money, no bank accounts, no assets, then there's no estate.
And since there's an expense.
Well, his estate, would it just be monetary things? I mean, you know, I know we're talking about the bank and everything, but wouldn't that include... I don't even think about everything else because everything else is gone. It's just gone.
Yeah. Well, then no. The state isn't worried about like photos and keepsakes that you might think are important. No, that doesn't have any value. It's only cash and valued assets.
Okay.
So if you know he has assets, I'd say it probably behooves you on behalf of your daughter to go down and raise an estate on your own. But you're going to have to find assets. That's the bottom line. All right.
Okay. So you said I need to go back down to City Hall again. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I think you do. Or if you're going to retain counsel, but there's going to be a cost associated with retaining counsel.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just saying, I mean, if you knew there were assets, then you'd retain counsel. You know, did he own a house? Did he own a car? Does he have?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm really just trying to find out about her trust fund right now at this point.
About her what?
There was a trust fund that he told me he set out for.
Well,
her,
that's yeah, that's an asset, and that's an asset that if there was a trust fund, it would be in trust for her. I don't know exactly how it's created, but again, you need to find the assets, I suppose. That's the bottom line, all right?
Right. Okay, but where were you telling me to do file a what? What is it?
Take the will and go down to the Register of Wills and attempt attempt to raise the estate on behalf of...
Okay, well, he doesn't have a will, so... About it.
Oh wait, I'm sorry.
Will, I can't go down there. Yeah.
You take the death certificate.
Death certificate. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
And go to the Register of Wills.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a great Sunday.
You too.
Saul, let me ask you a question. How do people find assets if, you know, like this is a woman who she doesn't even know if there's any money? How do you find assets?
By sheer luck. Many times people call us and they'll tell us that so-and-so left them X thousands of dollars. And until you can identify and discover those assets, there's nothing to pursue. You need to actually identify the assets so there's something to go after.
Yeah, I mean, you can hire a private investigator, I suppose, or there's like, people who can uncover assets. That's not a lawyer. But in order to... know whether it behooves you to raise the estate and go through those expenses, you really need to have an estate to raise.
Yeah, well, in many instances, if these types of accounts exist, then the financial institutions will generate statements of some sort, whether they're on a monthly basis or quarterly or annually. And if you have access to the address where the decedent lived, hopefully, if you go through the mail, you may come across some of this correspondence.
Sure. But in her instance, where other family members kind of swooped in, She's not got access to that. She's kind of left on her own, and I doesn't sound like there was a lot there. Hey, let's talk to Danny on line 3 from Plymouth Meeting, who's got a comment about Gov Christie. Hey, Danny, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I listen to your show every week, and you're knowledgeable with the with the law and everything. I'm sure you went to law school. It's like, why is everybody on Christie about rooting for the Cowboys? You know, we all have the right to, pick and choose who we want to.
I suppose, but when you wear the hat of a politician, you're representing. You know what I mean? He's no longer an individual. I would say maybe even he does lose the right a little bit to be his own man publicly, because he's like our representative in essence. Could you imagine the mayor of Philadelphia going into the link and have all dressed in cowboy gear? Come on, he's representing the city of Philadelphia, for God's sakes. Come on. I don't know. Danny, come on.
I feel bad for him. He gets that rap all the time.
Don't feel bad for him. Because he had to know when he was sitting there hooking it up with Jerry Jones and stuffing the Twinkies. He had to know the camera was on him. He was almost like it was intentional. It was like a snub. I don't know. I think you lose. What do you think, Saul? Do you lose the right to be an individual?
Well, behind closed doors, it's his privilege to root for whoever he wants. But as a public official, I think he should be a little more neutral as far as.
Not Danny. Danny doesn't. Danny's in his court. Danny, I don't know. You might be codependent. Do you like the underdogs? Is that part of your makeup? Are you got a guy who's always fighting for the? Because I guess sometimes you might think he is the underdog.
Well, I do, because he just keeps on getting beat up for it. And like I said, I just think everybody has the right to choose, you know?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to marijuana, I guess that's true. I believe in that. I don't necessarily think that he had the right to do that. But, hey, listen, I do believe this, Danny. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I appreciate your take on it. And thanks for listening to Court Radio every week.
Every week. You have a great one.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for calling. Well, all right. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be back in 2 minutes while we pay the bills, because Saul, it doesn't come cheap for me to get Saul out of bed and into the studio on a Sunday morning. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Follow us on Twitter at Court Radio. Be right back.
If you or a loved one has been the victim of a medical mistake or misdiagnosis, you know what matters. Getting proper care matters. Providing for your family matters. Your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman. For more than 30 years, My Philly Lawyer has been holding hospitals and insurance companies accountable for medical errors. Let us fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyers' Dean Weitzman first at 215-227-2727. Whether it's personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, or more, Dean is ready to fight for you and the compensation you deserve.
I'm Dean Weitzman. Facing any kind of legal or medical challenge can be overwhelming, but you don't have to go it alone. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Viagra users. Recent studies have linked the drug to an 84% increase of developing the deadly skin cancer melanoma. If you've used Viagra and been diagnosed with melanoma, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Our experienced team of attorneys and physicians are standing by to get you the help you need and the compensation you deserve. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you're suffering due to transvaginal mesh surgery, the time to call is now. A jury just awarded one patient $73 million for her injuries. My Philly Lawyers Select Medical and Legal Team is standing by to take action for you before time runs out. If you've suffered from a transvaginal mesh implant, take the first step now. Call My Philly Lawyer, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Dean and this is Court Radio. I'm joined in the studio with the one and only, you've heard him before, it's Saul Langsam.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Saul. Saul's here because Saul's talking wills and estates today, folks. If you've got estate questions, we probably have the answers. 215-227-2727. If for some reason you don't get in on Court Radio, you can always reach us during the week. Saul's available 24/7. He never sleeps. He's a hard worker. 215-227-2727. We're going to take some more calls, but let's talk for a few seconds about what should people expect when they come in to do a will? Like what do they need to bring in with them, and how does that process go?
When an appointment is set up, we speak briefly over the telephone, so we alert the prospective client as to the information we're looking for. Obviously, we're looking to identify who the immediate family members are and who the prospective client wishes to leave their assets to, nature of the relationship between them, and the nature of the assets, whether these are assets that would be passing through the estate, through the will, or whether they would be assets that are not probative assets that would be passing outside of the estate.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. What's a probate asset and a non-probate asset?
A probate asset is an asset that's owned by the individual who's coming in requesting that we do a will.
So like a house in their name or a bank account in their name is a probatable asset.
That is correct.
So the court will move that asset from the person who passed to the person they want it to go to after their death. And that's what we call raising the estate to make that happen.
That is correct.
What's a non-probate asset?
A non-probate asset is usually an asset which is created by way of contract. Simple example, a life insurance policy. You purchase a life insurance policy and you name a child as the beneficiary. That the value of that life insurance policy passes outside of your estate. It doesn't pass through the estate because it's a contractual obligation between you and your life insurance company.
Okay, so the life insurance company will pass that asset, the value of your life insurance policy, on to your beneficiary without the need to have an estate or even a will. So if your only asset were a life insurance policy, the only asset in the world were a life insurance policy, you might not need a will then.
That's correct.
See, I think, and we were talking about this earlier, everybody needs a will, even if you're asset-less. Here's why. You know how many people I represent over the years who unfortunately have passed away unexpectedly because of an accident? They were involved. They were walking across the street as a pedestrian. They were involved in a motor vehicle accident. They were the victim of a medical mistake in a hospital. And this previously young, normal, healthy person without a moment's notice is gone from this world. And that person in that circumstance who doesn't have a will, what happens to his or her asset, even if that asset is the proceeds, maybe millions of dollars in proceeds. Here's a person who had nothing, but when they pass because of an accident or a medical mistake, they perhaps are going to be receiving millions of dollars in money. Where does that go if there's no will?
You mentioned earlier in the show that we have an intestate statute. The intestate statute is a scheme of distribution that was created by our legislature, and they basically step into your shoes and make certain assumptions that if, God forbid, something happens to you and you're survived by children, your children would be next in line. If there are no children and there are parents, they would be next in line. This scheme of distribution is an artificial distribution scheme that doesn't adequately take the place of a will, where you can obviously name the beneficiaries of your estate, but it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. But what if you have four children and one of them is got a drug problem, you didn't want to leave anything to them, or you certainly don't want them to have it right away, you want to protect them from themselves? Does the intestate statute help you out in that instance?
No, it does just the opposite. That's why when you leave a will document, you are still in control even when you leave the face of this earth. Because under the intestate statute, it doesn't draw a distinction between your children or the quality of your children. They're all treated equally. So if during your lifetime you would never have intended to leave to a particular child, without a will, that child is going to be treated equally as the other children.
Yeah, and you have no say in it. And yet with the simple will, and if you don't have a lot, in fact, if you're assetless, what will it cost somebody on a very simple will with very little assets to come into our office to get a will made?
For our clients, we will charge $250 for a simple will.
That's it?
That's all.
Wait a minute. They meet with you. They create this document. They leave. It's signed. It's notarized. They can rest easy, and that's it, $250.
That is what we charge our clients.
I think we're going to have a line of people tomorrow coming into the office. It seems awfully inexpensive. So let me ask you something. How long will it take for you to do this for somebody?
Depending on how quickly they can provide us with the information, we can have under different circumstances, we can have wills generated in 24 hours.
Wow. All right. Well, that seems simple enough. Now, I want to get to the probating, what happens at the other end once they're gone, but let's talk to a caller first. Let's talk to Cece from Southwest Philly, one of my favorite parts of Philadelphia.
Hello.
Hi, Cece.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How long you been listening to Core Radio?
Just probably the last 2 days, like today and last Sunday, I think.
Have we lived up to your expectations?
Yes, definitely.
What are you doing up so early in the morning, Cece?
I can't sleep because I'm worried.
What are you worried about?
The problem is that I fought 10 years in a lawsuit to get a title and deed changed into my name, and the lawyer used the approach of a quiet title. And it didn't work. Basically, the judge just didn't let the United Bank foreclose on the property, but it's still in my parents' name. Now I have a large sum of money. I want to go ahead with my daughter and protect the property and fix it up. But the trustee was my third cousin. He died. And so we want to fix it up and hold on to it because it's in University City near Penn, so it's worth a lot of money. But we're worried because I can't tell my daughter, invest everything you have, and we could possibly still get foreclosed on, or there could be a sheriff's sale. But if, in fact, we pay everything off and fix it up, and it continues in the parent, my mother's estate name, can we have residual income, or is this just not going to work in our favor?
Okay, so let me ask you something. When Mom passed... was she the last to go of your parents?
Yes, my dad went before her, 2002. She went 2004.
Okay. And this property was in both of their names. So when she passed, how many children of your mother's were alive, and did your mom have a will?
Yes, I was the only child. There was no will. The third cousin, he decided, William Jordan, he decided to get her to sign 17 documents in front of me. He thought she was going to die, and he literally took her hand and wrote the 17 documents. Then when it didn't look readable, he ran down to the car and got 17 more in front of me and my cousin and her husband. So there was nothing we could do. I couldn't tackle him to the ground or call the police. He hijacked the power of attorney, everything. So when I went, and then the only will that I had made up, he tore it up. So then we went into battle, into court, and he's got a caveat stopping me. And I was about to pay off the taxes and put the deed and title in my name. And I went down to the will office of wills, and they were like, no, there is a will. And he turned it into an estate instead of it being fee simple. So now he's dead. He had two strokes, passed away, and my daughter came into money, and we want the money I have and the money she has, we want to take and fix the property up.
Right, but let me ask you something. It's still in your mom's name. It was never probated. I mean, the document that he got her to sign, who did that document leave the house to?
The judge told him he could not be the executor, power of attorney, and inherit the property. So what he did was he stopped the foreclosure of the bank. He told him he could not do that, but he also didn't tell me anything. They basically just went on and then threw the whole case out.
Okay, so in essence, at the time, it's hard to tease this out online, but or over the phone. Here's what I'm going to say. It sounds to me like the property never transferred because the will was not valid because he was listed both as the executor and a beneficiary, which is a no-no. So it seems to me like and especially now that he's passed. I think that you need to maybe probate your mother's estate as an intestate estate without a will. But
yeah, the problem is Richard Costigan, my lawyer, and Lawrence Solomon, who represented William Jordan, said it can't be done, and Judge Harrowin has to appoint a trustee. We have the money to fix it up, but I can't tell my daughter. Put all your money into it.
Yeah, no, that I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do that. And it's not Judge Harrowin. It's Judge Herrin. Judge Herrin, yeah. Because, you know, heroin is a drug and he is far from a drug. He's a distinguished jurist. All right. Well, listen, we could take the rest of the show with your case because I don't completely understand it. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to bring your paperwork down and have Saul take a look at it and give you an opinion on where to go next, then by all means, give us a call during the week. 215-227-2727. You know, you're a perfect example. I'll tell you this, Cece. You're a perfect example of somebody who's all twisted up when estate planning goes awry. And that's why it's so important to kind of get this right before the people pass. And I understand what you're saying, though. Sounds like you had a bad apple in the family who jumped in.
They didn't want me to sell it. And I understand they worked hard for it. And my grandmother bought it 1920 for $800. But the problem was we didn't foresee Starbucks, University of Penn expanding. Now the taxes went up to $4,000. It needs over $150,000 worth of work. We have the money. We want to go for it, but they're still blocking us.
Yeah, well, you can't put money in a property that you probably or may not ultimately succeed to. But, Cece, thanks.
My inheritance was stolen from me.
It sounds like it's at least temporarily stolen from you. How's that? I don't know that that's a permanent condition. And until we get all the paperwork, we won't know for sure. But give us a call during the week. Thanks for listening to Court Radio. Keep it up and have a great Sunday.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we got a ton of calls here. But let's go back to some like Cece, okay? The parent passes. We've done the will. What should people expect at that point?
if everything goes true to form, the client comes in and we assist in the process of probating the will, which simply is to ask the court, the Register of Wills, to appoint the executor who's named in the will document. We open the estate, and as attorneys, we're obviously there to assist them in the gathering of assets, dealing with any issues, legal issues that crop up, opening an estate account, and obtaining a federal identification number for the clients. There's a multitude of work we have to do. Ultimately, when we're satisfied that the assets are gathered, then we carry out the wishes of the decedent in the will document to make sure that all of the various thoughts that they've incorporated in the will have been followed through on. Ultimately, this ends up in an inheritance tax return that needs to be filed, inheritance taxes to be calculated and paid if.
How much do we got to pay taxes when somebody dies?
It depends on the nature of the relationship between the beneficiary and the decedent. And in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, any property going from spouse to spouse is free of any inheritance tax.
Okay, so from husband to wife or wife to husband, no taxes at all. But what about kids? How much do kids have to pay to the Commonwealth if their parents pass?
Well, the inheritance tax rate is 4.5%. So when you say the kids have to pay, in most instances, the estate will pay the inheritance tax, and the distribution to the child will be after the inheritance tax or inheritance tax free, but Uncle Sam wants his 4.5%, then he gets it.
4.5%. All right, let's talk to Jamar from Abington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jamar, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate y'all taking my call.
You a regular listener, or is this your first time listening?
You know what? It's crazy because I listen every so often. It was my weekend to work. I had to come into work, but it just so happened I just happened to turn the radio on and you guys was on. You know, talking about real estate and property and stuff like that. So I'm like, I got to call it.
where do you work? Yo, Jamar, where do you work on a Sunday morning this early?
I work at Einstein Montgomery.
Oh, okay.
Brand new hospital out here. So.
Wow. So, and you live in Abington? I used to live in Abington for a while in my previous life.
I live in Abington. I've been there for like 3 years now. I love the area.
Good, good. Yeah, you're real close to the Willow Grove Mall.
Yeah, I'm like probably like 7 minutes down the street from Willow Grove, actually.
Yeah, you shop there?
Yeah, I shop there. My son, though, he loves it.
Yeah?
He loves it. Yeah.
Is he's always running in to get new shoes, new sneaks?
I mean, you know what? Like, he's 16 years old, and that's what the kids do now. They just go to the mall, hang out, and, you know, with his friends, go to a movie, so, you know.
Right. You don't sound like somebody who has a 16-year-old son. You sound like you're 18. I mean,
I do. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've got that young radio voice or something.
They look at me like, what? Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you were putting your kid up on the carousel at the Willow Grove Mall. You know, got the horses.
Oh, no.
It'd be pretty hard to put a 16-year-old on the horse on the carousel.
Oh, no. Oh, you look at me like, what, Dad? I ain't on that.
All right, yeah. Jamar. Thanks for giving us a laugh today. What's your question?
Okay, so this is my question. My grandfather passed away. His name was James. I'm sorry. His name, I'm not going to miss his name. But he passed away in 2009. He had real estate. He had two buildings. He had three buildings and an empty property and land down south, for what I found out, what I just recently discovered. He has two living daughters and a son, which is my father. So my question is, when he passed, everything went to his niece, went to my cousin, which is my father's niece, went to her. And what I just recently found out, that the houses and the land and the property is all up for share. So I guess she just, you know, she couldn't keep up with the payments, with the taxes, so she's starting to lose everything. So she, you know, I went down there to help her, you know, try to go, because it was in my grandfather's name. So I thought my grandfather just left her everything. But come to find out, the documents that she had, it was called like executive estate or power attorney, whatever those papers she had.
Right.
When we went to City Hall to try to transfer the deeds over, they wouldn't let her transfer the deeds over. And we was like, well, I asked the guy, we went down to City Hall, I said, why you can't? She was like real anti about like dealing with this one specific guy. She was like, I took the paperwork. I said, well, you know, we want to get these documents re-notified because it was like expired or something like that. And he was saying, well, I can't notarize them because the notary that's on the slip, that was on the sheet, wasn't a notary yet. Like this person didn't even exist. So my question is to you, when I found that out, it shocked me. I said, wait a minute. Like, how can you get something notarized? If it's notarized and the person that wasn't even a notary in City Hall, I guess you have to leave. When you become a notary, you have to register at Philadelphia. You're paying taxes on it. The notary didn't even exist. So they awarded my cousin all his belongings, and the document was forged. How do I, being my father's heir, go get all his properties from her and try to, like, maintain, like, because the taxes, because all the taxes is getting out of control. Actually, he's on Sheriff's show in March.
Okay, all right, take a breath. That's all right. These things, what happens? These things are complicated, and you got to untwist them over decades sometimes.
Right.
So the question is, was his estate ever probated originally? In other words, did he have a will, a valid will, and was that will probated at City Hall? And then, as a result of the probating, what we do is we transfer legally the properties from the decedent to the beneficiary, and so we give them a new will or a new deed. But sometimes folks who don't have attorneys representing them, they don't know that, right, Saul? And they don't get the deeds transferred.
In most instances, they don't get the deeds transferred.
And that's not always an easy thing to do after the fact. But the question I had is, you're using terms, Jamar, that people use and they're not sure what they really mean. You used the term power of attorney. You can give somebody a power of attorney. That's not the same as creating a will and transferring the property on their death. Power of attorney allows somebody to make decisions for the decedent while they're still alive. Once they die, the power dies with them. And so you need to have a will. And I don't know if Grandpop had a will. Listening to your story, I still can't tell if Grandpop had a will. And if he did have a will, whether it was a legit will. And so I'm not sure these properties were ever officially and legally transferred. Here's what I would suggest. Gather up what you can gather up and come down to the office. If there's properties there and they have a value, then it's possible you're still entitled and we could help you. But I need to see the actual documents and the wills and the deeds and the whatever you can pull together in order to make that happen. You got it?
Listen, I will be down there tomorrow morning because I'm off. And I have all the documents that she gave me.
Well, Saul's got 1 foot out the door. He's almost at the office now, but he'll see you. Give us a call in the morning. We'll get you in the office tomorrow. You'll bring your documents, and we'll work our way through that. And that's how easy it is, folks. If you've got issues on estate planning, all you got to do is what Jamar does. Give us a call at 215-227-2727. Jamar, see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Peace. Folks, we got so many questions. Unfortunately, you know, we're running out of time. I know Saul's going to get a lot of calls tomorrow. I'm going to take another question before we go. But Saul, we went through the making of a will, $250, simple process if you got a simple estate. If it's more complicated, if you need trust provisions like an earlier caller, it's not going to be $250. There's going to be more. This isn't about misleading our callers. If it's a simple will, simple. What does simple mean?
Really, the simple will is where there's just outright distribution to named family members.
Okay, so you got property. You're going to leave it to a family member or several family members. That's it. You're not trying to hold stuff. There's no children involved. No, you know, nothing complicated like that where you have to have trust provisions. Simple will, $250. All you got to do is give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727, and you ask for Saul. Saul. Call Saul. Let's talk to Dwayne, because I haven't heard from anybody in Mount Airy in a long time. Let's talk to Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, welcome to Court Radio.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
What's up? We're great, thanks. Quick question. We got very little time left.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick as possible. I was power attorney for my mother. She passed in May. Back in 2005, we went and got the power attorney taken care of, and I assume we thought we had the will taken care of. When my mom passed, I go to that lawyer, and that lawyer says to me, well, the lawyer, your mother never filed for this. He never came and signed for the will, so it's not official. So now we have a property that's sitting there, and I have three brothers, and it was supposed to be everything is supposed to be split three ways. But now he's saying the will was never signed by my mother, who had Alzheimer's at the time, but she filled it with the power of attorney. He said she didn't fill out the
okay, here it is. I'm going to give you the answer. No will. All, the property is still yours. It goes to you and your two brothers equally. You all need to come down and raise her estate under the intestate statute that Saul talked about. So there's a distribution with or without a will, and you all are entitled to that property equally with or without a will. But you have to come down with her death certificate. We then go to City Hall with you, raise that estate, and transfer the property. Not a big deal. Do it all the time. Go ahead.
My only problem, I have one brother that's incarcerated. And
that's all right.
He doesn't want to sign anything if he's not there.
That's the problem. Well, exactly. You know, we could go to the Register of Wills and have a hearing over it. It depends on the value of the estate. But this can happen next year, 2 years from now, or 5 years from now. But the property isn't going to transfer into anybody's name without him being there and
okay.
or signing documents. He has to sign the documents. You got to convince him. Because his interest isn't going to, with him signing the documents, his interest isn't going to be affected. He's still going to get one-third of that estate. It can actually be put on the books for him. He can get Twinkies and stuff like that while he's in jail. You know,
and he doesn't want the property sold. I guess he wants to live in there, but
he's got.
How do you split something three ways? I don't understand.
No, you can't do that. You got to sell it. All right, we got to run. Thanks for calling us. Call us during the week if you need us, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're done. We're out of here, and we got a little bit of announcements. And in following those, you're going to hear from the senator. Have a great Sunday, Saul. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure, everybody. Have a great day.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.
If you've been in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. If you or a loved one has been the victim of a medical mistake or misdiagnosis, you know what matters. Getting proper care matters. Providing for your family matters. Your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman. For more than 30 years, My Philly Lawyer has been holding hospitals and insurance companies accountable for medical errors. Let us fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer's Dean Weitzman first at 215-227-2727. Whether it's personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, or more, Dean is ready to fight for you and the compensation you deserve.
I'm Dean Weitzman. Facing any kind of legal or medical challenge can be overwhelming, but you don't have to go it alone. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Viagra users. Recent studies have linked the drug to an 84% increase of developing the deadly skin cancer melanoma. If you've used Viagra and been diagnosed with melanoma, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Our experienced team of attorneys and physicians are standing by to get you the help you need and the compensation you deserve. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.